Rabbi, before we begin, we're here in the Chuvas Talmidim, the 11th Perek, in the new Sefer. It's on page Tzadi Beis. In the old printing, which I have, it's on page Kuf Zayin. Somewhere over here. Before we begin, I just want to make mention I've noticed that the Olam has been, thank you, very careful about talking during Davin, at least trying to be careful about talking, at least in the base medrash. However, I just want to bring to your attention that people speak in the hallway, so then even in the base medrash you could hear them, even if the door is closed. As you can probably hear right now, you could hear voices like through the door, through the hallway, all the way down, when people are, especially during Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei, and even when the door is closed, but for sure when the door is open. So sometimes people, for whatever, standing in the hallway, I think that they're not being mezalzel in the tefillah, but I mean, I don't think it's necessarily appropriate to walk out and talk outside. It's definitely much better than talking in shul. But if you're talking outside, it's going to still bother people in shul. It's still something that we should keep in mind. So it's something that we should try to be sensitive to, that there's people like during the Shemoneh Esrei that can, I'm in all the way in the front of the Beis Medrash, and I could hear it over there for sure. People in the back of the Beis Medrash can hear it, and we should try to be careful, even if we're not in the Beis Medrash, to make sure that we're not making any disturbances. But overall, I must give you Yasher Koyach for the fact that the Beis Medrash has really been very quiet during davening. when I spoke about doing this mitzvah for Ritzifus in the morning for, as a schus for Rabbi Mandelbaum, so one of the things which I don't know if it was made 100% clear, which is that if a person misses any part of Ritzifus, Friday's a makeup day, which means that if a person feels like he couldn't do a particular, he missed out part of the beginning of a Seder, whatever it is, you have Friday to make up on your Ritzifus. You might have missed earlier, so therefore a person shouldn't feel like he just like lost it because he came late one day or whatever it might be. That's something that is rectifiable. Now, a number of people came over. Does anything could help? Otherwise, Rabbi Mandelbaum is making a chasana, Beis Hashem, next week. And expenses of the chasana are costly. And aside for that, he's not going to be able to, he has regular income, which he's not going to be able to access because he's going to be in treatments. So I told everyone to hold off on it. But now, we do have, a basic ballpark of what we need. And I have started already collecting money. If anyone feels that they would like to participate, you can let me know. It's not an astronomical number. So for that reason, it's not like we have to, I hope that we could do this in a very respectful fashion. And, people are talking about sending out emails or something or pictures. Baruch Hashem, I think we could do this in a very tzanuadik way. If anyone wants to help, and would like to know, like perhaps numbers, or would like to donate, you could speak to me about it. If anyone needs a tax deductible receipt, we could talk about that also. Hopefully, we'll get the money before the wedding is a week from this Thursday night. Does not necessarily need the money before the wedding, but I'd like to try to have the money there. Therefore, to have Menuchas HaNefesh and Yishuv HaDas, and they don't have to worry about much. Now, the wedding, as I mentioned, a week from Thursday night. A week from Thursday night is when the yeshiva is going to be starting its off Shabbos. Now, I would strongly appeal, and they have to go to the wedding, but I think it would make a tremendous impact on the family if the yeshiva came in mass to the wedding. It's right down the block. The yeshiva will have to provide transportation to the wedding. Anyway, if the other one wants to come, I think it would be a very big Kiddush Hashem, and he would appreciate it very much. Very touched that the yeshiva is, putting their foot forward. That they're showing him that he's important to us. I think that coming to the wedding after night seder is going to end at 10 o'clock on Thursday night because it's the beginning of an off Shabbos. So if the Olam would like to come to the wedding afterwards, I think it could be a very special and beautiful event. Okay, we're here in the Chovas Talmidim, and as I mentioned, page Kuf Zayin in the old printing and page Tzadi Beis in the new printing. I think, in my humble opinion, that we are about to embark on the most important part or idea that we'll find in the Chovas Talmidim. The Hakdama Rechovas Tamidim is exceptional, also so important, and everyone talks about the Hakdama, and I have to agree that maybe this is like neck and neck, 50-50, hard for me to say. The Hakdama Rechovas Tamidim is extremely important. As I've mentioned before, Avram Shor, I heard him say that it should be a chayv on every parent and every mechanach to read the Hakdama Rechovas Tamidim. Very important to understand the way chinuch works, and for us ourselves, because the whole idea, the principle in the first, in the Hakdama is that every one of us really have to take accountability for ourselves. Empowerment is a word that maybe is a little bit more sophisticated, right? Psychological terms, empowerment. But that's the idea in the first paragraph. But what he says over here has also just come to light in the world of psychology and sociology, and it's such an important, and we use the word empowerment, empowering idea that he's about to tell us over here. I think that what we're going to discuss today and tomorrow is so critical for us to know about our lives. A person wants to be successful in any endeavor, anything a person wants to do. I think that this is really the key to success is right here. So let's get down to it. What we're speaking about over here is about a person that we spoke about 2 weeks ago, about yo-yo dieting. Person that was Pesach al Shtei Sifim, he's one day one way, the other day the other way, doesn't have consistency. Last week we spoke about the concept of Hasmodas Avoida, consistency, Ritzifus, so we got into the whole Ritzifus discussion. Ritzifus is a person sticking to something, it's a person having resilience, a person not stopping, not getting, nothing being broken. There's a very famous story, I'm sure I've told it over here in Chos Taminim or other places, about Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva, it was 12 years, and he didn't see his wife. He came back, and his wife heard his wife saying, "I give him another 12 years," and he just turned around and left. The very famous Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asked the question, "Why didn't he just go in and say thank you at least? Nothing." And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz had this zog, became very famous. 12 plus 12 does not equal 24, which is that if you have consistency, a consistency of avoida, right? If you break in the middle, so then it just doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. And that's really important of hasmada. Hasmada means constantly staying at something. And if you look at, there's an unbelievable vort from the Chazon Ish. And Rav Gad Friedman, one of his first shmuzim he gave here in Yeshiva, he does a great job of describing that Chazon Ish. If you want to hear it in high definition, you could get it from Rav Gad Friedman. That he speaks about, you know, what one time the Chazon Ish saw two bachram battling. They were on a roof, it was during Yom Narayim time, and the chairs were on the roof, and up there battling, and he tried to describe to them what it's like learning 2 hours straight, and then 3 hours straight, and then 4 hours straight, and he keeps on describing with more descriptions of ecstasy and euphoria, 5 hours straight, 10 hours straight, 15 hours, Chazon Ish learned 15 hours straight, and what it was like to feeling of that, but it all depends on the consistency. And there's a very simple mashal that we all are familiar with, is that a person wants to boil water. How long does the water have to be on the fire in order to boil it? Anyone? Okay, let's say 7 minutes. 7 minutes to boil water. But what happens if you put water on the fire for 2 minutes, and then you take it off, and then you put it back on, and then you take it off, and then you put it back on, and then you take it off? How long is it going to take to boil? The answer is, it'll never boil. You'll never boil. You'll always be lukewarm. So a person wants to get somewhere. It needs a consistency. It needs a ritzifus. A person needs to be able to do something at blocks at a time. And then it's not just a pshat. Okay, so I learned less time, right? Person puts water. He'll end up saying, "Look, I ended up with the water on the fire for 7 minutes. Why is it not boiling? I did 7 minutes. So maybe it took me a little longer, but at least I did 7 minutes." That's not it. That's not it. You didn't do the same thing, Bechlal. Person that learns 7 minutes Beretzifus, puts water on the fire for 7 minutes Beretzifus, it's a different thing. So we don't even know what learning is like, a certain degree of learning. We've never even experienced it because we've never, ever, like, detached ourselves from whether it's our phone, or whether it's our distractions, or our friends coming over, or just our mind, like, wandering. If a person can get himself in a zone, it's a whole different level. So here we are. Ve'oid dvarim begoy. There's more, it's deeper than that. Kvar yodato sha'alecha lahamshich or elyon. You already know. Kvar yodato, you already know. Sha'alecha, it's your job. lahamshech, to draw or elyon, a light from Shemayim. We spoke about those lights that are really inside of us, the spheros. Ulagalos kedushas mindois halyonis becha. They're all inside of you. To be megala them, to bring them out. V'zehu koichai shel rotzoin ishisro. This is the koyach, the strength of rotzoin ishisro, of desire. Desire. This is the word. Me'oirehu es rotzoin ha'elyoin l'ha'ir boy. A person can he can be ma'oyer if he could just awaken the rotzayn ha'elyoyin. He has an elevated desire, the higher bow, that it should light up inside of him. Rotzayn chu bakashascha hatmidi loy davareku. Your rotzayn and your bakasha tmidi, your consistent yearning for it, is not davarek. Mamshich ataboy or ukedushas midas ha'elyoynos. That's enough. I want to show you another amazing vort from Chaim Shmulevitz. Chaim Shmulevitz was amazing. I'll tell you why. He was a Rosh Hashiva. And he was not just a Rosh Hashiva, he was like classic Litvish Rosh Hashiva. And Musar wasn't really their thing, usually. He got very taken from the Mashkiach in Yeshiva, Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitz. And he became a Musar Rosh Hashiva. That wasn't his upbringing at all. But his Sichos Musar became so popular, and it's ironic that most people know Reb Chaim Shmulevitz based on his Musar, not on his Torah. He wrote a sefer called Shari Chaim, not nearly as popular as Sichos Musar. Sichos Musar became the thing. And I guess part of it is because there's like brilliance, there's the goyness of a Rosh Hashiva in the Musar. So he has Amar de Gavar on this week's parsha, if I remember correctly. Yaakov Avinu is on the run. He's a fugitive. And there he is. He comes to Bnei Kedem, Arzo Bnei Kedem. And there's three Roye Tzon, three shepherds, that are sitting there, they're crouching by the Be'er, by the well. And there's a huge rock on top of the stone. So he said to them, "What are you waiting for?" And they said, "You know, we can't lift this stone by ourselves. This is way too heavy." Now, shepherds are probably busy all day with they're outdoors, they're walking, they're busy with animals, they're probably in pretty decent shape, I would imagine they're in pretty good shape, but the three of them can't lift a rock. They need more than that. Anyway, Yaakov Avinu sees Rachel, and I'm not sure exactly, I guess he wanted a little privacy. What does he do? Vayigash Yaakov comes forward. Vayogel es ha'even me'al pi ha'be'er. And he single-handedly takes the stone, the rock, off of the well. How in the world did he do that? What is this, like some sort of superpower or something? Like Torah gives you superpowers or... Well, you got three shepherds that say, "No chance, I can't do this. The three of us together can't do it. We need more than that." You got one yeshiva guy, right, who sits, is Yoshev Tam, Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim, he's sitting the whole time learning. I can't imagine he's in such great shape. And boom, done. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz on Meir de Gavart. He says there's a klal. The klal is, Ein davar oimed lefnei harotzen. Nothing can get in the way of desire. And if you have a really strong desire to do something, it doesn't make a difference how difficult it is. You can access strength that's inside of you and do things that no one else could imagine could be done because you want to do it. Yaakov wasn't stronger than the shepherds. He wanted it more than they did. Yaakov was the epitome of Ratzon. Anytime a person wants something badly, he gets it. He gets it. And I think that this is Yesoid Gadol in life. Yesoid Gadol in life. We are used to thinking that there are certain people who are born with talents. They're born with talents. There are certain people who, they're talented. There are certain families that they just have that gene. I'll give you an example. Maybe you know, maybe you don't know. There's a family, the name is Rudman. The Rudman family are famous ballers. They're famous, great at all sports, baseball, basketball, football, everything. There's a Rudman who is, I think he's still in Eretz Yisrael. His father is my contemporary. His father was a legend in ball. Phenomenal. What's the pshat? All Rudmans are great at sports. So I was talking once to this boy who's here, his grandfather. And he said to me, I taught my kids at a young age that sports is important. Maybe I told them it's a little too important. In other words, these kids wanted to win badly. Badly. And you play that way as from day one, you become great. They're no more talented than any of us. They aren't. It's just a question of they want it more than we want it. And if a person wants something, he gets it. One time, I didn't play that much basketball when I was Yaakov's age, but a little bit. His name is Yaakov Rudman. And one time, I was on the court, and I don't remember what was going on, but I really wanted to win a game really badly. I think it was personal. There was something personal going on the other side of the court, but I fought for every rebound, every shot, every loose ball, and Yaakov was there. He wasn't playing. He was there. He said to me, you got to play this way every game, because this is the way I play every single game. Every single shot means everything to him. Yeah, to me, it's just a game. Come on, guys. You know, let's have a good time, right? He doesn't play that way. He gets there, and he's so competitive and aggressive, and he's so, like, wants to win. That is the entire edge. That is not part of it. That is everything. Everything. There's a book which is called Talent is Overrated. It's a Goyish book, but if you have time in the bathroom, you could possibly read it. I have it if anyone wants to borrow it. And it's a book that there's numerous studies, and the studies are that there's no such thing as someone being naturally gifted. It doesn't exist. Talent is overrated. Now, this is a famous book there's numerous books about it. There's another book that just came out called Peak, which is the same thing. How do people hit their peak? Same idea. There's another book called Outliers. Same idea. Three books, they're all sold millions of copies. The theory behind this book, Talent is Overrated, is that it's not about talent, it's about passion. And listen to this. Even people who, singers, you take singers and you would be able to examine their vocal cords. They're not really better than their sibling. Not necessarily. They just love singing. So from a young age, they've been singing. And a person keeps doing that, then they refine their talents. They just become better. I have in my family, I've known to have the best voice in the family. And I know that's a little pathetic, but that's the way it is in our family. You should hear the other siblings. They're famous for being like way off key. It's pretty amazing. Now, the difference is not that I have a better voice than them. It's really not. It's that I love singing more than they do. And I just sing and sing a lot. I love to sing. So I got that much better. Still plenty of room for improvement. But I'm that much better, not because I'm more gifted than them. I just love to sing. So when I love to do something and I'm at it and I'm singing and I'm doing it, so I get better. And I have a brother who's famously like much more bright than the rest of us. My brother is like crazy, crazy bright. But it's not really true. He just loves chachma. He loves, he swallows like a sponge. He loves to like know things. You know, he wants to know the whole, from when he's a little kid, he wanted to know and know and know. So you keep on wanting, I didn't want to know that badly when I was a kid. I was happy, you know, going outside and playing tag with my friends or throwing around a frisbee or something. That was fine with me. And he's busy trying to figure out, how does this work and why is this happening? And this whole time, that's where his mind is. And if a person has a passion for something, he becomes great at it. You know, Tiger Woods, who is possibly the greatest golfer of all time, yet. You know that he was in his high chair on the golf course. His dad took him in his high chair on the golf course. The kid, he was in diapers, he was golfing. In diapers. He's not a naturally gifted golfer. The guy's been golfing forever. It's just, that's everything to him, his life. He's consumed with golfing. That's all there was ever in his life. So of course he's going to be a better golfer. If any of us would have the same type of drive as Tiger Woods for golfing, we'd be that good. So if you want to basically boil it down, everything just depends on how much you care, how much desire, how much passion you have for anything. That's Ben Yakir. My precious child. Kvar amarnu lecha shelo litzavoyscha bilvad shetelech b'derech Hashem banu b'zeh. We're not here just to give you instructions, just tell you, this is what you have to do. You have to go on the derech Hashem. Ki gam ata kvar yoideya. You already know that. You already want to do that. V'gam nafshecha mishtoykekas l'zeh. You want that. Elagam la'azor lecha. We want to help you. U'lahargilcha oyscha. L'leches boy banu. We're here to get you there, not just to tell you about it. I was once learning with one of my chavrusas, Bacher, this is years and years ago, he was telling me that he felt as a kid when one of the rabbis would come over and said, I want you to know you're the worst kid in the class. The Rebbe told him, I want you to know you're the worst kid in the class. So shape up. He said to me, you know what I felt like? He said, I felt like someone just gave me a jumbo jet to fly and said, fly the plane. I don't know how to fly the plane. Shape up. I don't know how to shape up. I want to shape up. You think I like to be the worst kid in the class? I just didn't know what to do. You can't just tell me this is what you have to do without teaching me how to do it. Giving me a little bit of an instruction. Give me a little bit of help. So he's saying, we're not just telling you, you have to go Derech Hashem. We're here to help you. L'hagir l'cha. V'hine amarnu l'cha. You have to be consistent in your avoida. Whether it's a time when a person feels he's like riding the wave. When it's a time when he's like resting and he's not like high energy. Even when you're falling. Consistent work. If you read in this book, and I'm telling you, they just chopped this. This just got chopped recently, but it's always there. This is Chochmas HaTorah. It's been here forever. There's something which has become famous, which is called the 10,000 hour rule. The 10,000 hour rule is a person, in order to be successful, has to spend 10,000 hours doing something. People speak about who's like a classic prodigy. It's someone named Mozart. Mozart was a composer. He wrote classical music. Mozart is a child prodigy. He wrote music at the age of 5. He was already composing music at the age of 5. People said this was a person who was naturally gifted, right? Wrong. Why is it wrong? Because none of his classic works, no one has any of Mozart's compositions from when he's 5. They were garbage. They were 5-year-old compositions. But when you start at 5, by the time you hit 19, you've been composing already for 14 years. He's 19 years old. So he's been working at it for years, constantly trying to compose and trying 10,000 hours he's been sitting there composing. By the time he hits 10,000, he'll come up with something pretty decent. We all would. Because he's not naturally gifted. True, he had a passion at 5 years old, which most of us don't have. Most of us are happy playing with with cars, matchback cars, when we're 5 years old. He wanted to compose music, but that's the whole difference. There's a passion, and a consistency. That's everything. There's a very famous group, which is where they were called the Beatles. The Beatles practiced in Hamburg for 8 hours every single night. 8 hours for months straight, together. They played for 8 hours every night playing. That was before they became famous. Because in order for them to be able to perfect their sound, they have to be at it over and over and over again. Can you imagine how much golf Tiger Woods played from the time he was 4 years old when he got his first golf set? That's why he's good. He's not gifted. Now, you might say, true, there are certain people that they're, like, for example, sports players that are taller. That's true. And they're always going to be better than me. But how many people out there that are 6'5"? Why is this guy better than that guy? Not because he's gifted. So within that group of people, 6'5", there's one all-star. He wants it more. He practices more. That's it. So there's two things we have to know. We have to know about consistency. The idea of ritzifus, sticking with it. Person never stopping. There's when he's feeling it, when he's not feeling it, and even when he's in a yerida. But finding a form of constantly pushing yourself, never letting up, and the idea of passion. And we understand ourselves that obviously the more passion I have for something, the more consistent I can be. The more important something is to me, so the harder I can work at it. So let's see what he says. V'chize talui behasmodas bakashoscha es derecha emetz. This is dependent on the hasmoda, the consistent yearning or hunger, desire for derecha emetz, min hageshem el Hashem, from Gashmius Takarish Baruch Hu. We spoke about it last week, about tikkun hanefesh and churban haguf, or churban hanefesh and tikkun haguf. You have a choice. Gashmius, ruchnius. My guf, my neshama. What am I looking for? Where am I trying to get to? Min hageshem el Hashem. Avol bidvareinu el oil. With our word, we've said, oid lo yatzanu es yedei choyveseinu. We have not fulfilled our obligation alecha. Choyves ha'oizer v'atoymech. We have to help you. We have to support you. Ki eich ma'oyerim gam es zois. How are you ma'oyer this? How does a person have consistency? How can a person have that he's constantly trying to do this? The derech of a person. It's normal for a person. That even if he knows what he's supposed to do, he's got to shake off all the dirt and the filth on him. And he's supposed to cleanse himself and purify himself. It's all theoretical. Okay? He tells us what I have to do. I know that. I know what I have to do. His heart doesn't hurt. Maybe there's moments that a person does feel it, and it bothers him, and it hurts him, and he has a passion and a desire. Moments of that. Avul kalahu, but it's very, very light. V'rak lefamim rechoikos margish, it's only every once in a while. Ke'ev halev v'bakosha temidis. When does he have a hurt in his heart? When does he have a yearning, a desire? Hu margish rak el olam hazeh. All he has that for is for things of olam hazeh. There's things that he has a passion for, he has a desire for, that he wants always. Not the good things. For Olam Hazeh. Eich yasigo, he wants to, how's he going to get it? Eich is amitz boi v'yizgoe itoi. How is he going to like feel proud? V'lo yoyse. U'manoyel b'dvoreinu. So what is all of our words going to help? She'tevakesh v'libcho yidig al zeh. That we're telling you have to want it. You have to search for it. Im loy nazer lecho. This is the secret. This is what it boils down to. You have to want it. And people have the famous question. I want to want it. We've all heard that. Maybe we've all said it. I want to want it, but I just don't want it. true. I wish I could have that desire. I just don't. It doesn't mean that much. I don't care that much about it. I want to care about it. I wish I could like wake up in the morning and like be roaring to go to learn and to daven for the Maaseh. I just don't feel it. I don't feel it. So if it boils down to this, you need to be consistent. In order to be consistent, you need to have passion. Where do you get the passion from? That's the big question. That's the million-dollar question. And in these books that I'm telling you about, Outliers doesn't speak about it necessarily, where do you get the passion from? But this book called Talent is Overrated, he asked this question. Where do you get the passion from? Because that's the secret to success. That's the secret to excellence, is passion. If we had passion for Torah, if we were there, if we had the same rutzen like Yaakov Avinu had to lift that rock, we had that rutzen, so then Gittin would be a small masechta. Nothing. You know that people back in the day were able to take a pin test? You know what that means? It means you go like this, okay. Okay, on daf beis, it's a letter gimel. On daf gimel, it's a letter tes. On daf da, they would be able to just do that. And you can turn the page. How in the world did you know that? Oh my gosh. Do you understand what that means? It means they didn't know balpeh. They knew every line exactly where it was. They were able to do that. You might think it's crazy. There was a bachur in this yeshiva whose brother was able to do it. I wish he was able to do it, but he did it here in yeshiva. He was able to do it here in yeshiva. He did a pin test. Just like that. A kid today. We think, I don't have the brains for that. Wrong. Wrong. I don't have the passion for that. I don't have the drive for that. I have brains for that. But that's a ton of chazara. Oh my gosh. That's a tremendous amount of focus and concentration. I just don't have the passion for that. That's the answer. We don't have the passion. So how do you get passion? You can figure that out. And then you've got a maid. That's what he's going to tell us next week. How do we figure out how to get passion? Is a shame.